No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? How do you like them apples? 49ers win 37-24 against the Titans. They improved to 10 wins, and man, they handle business. And maybe the first half wasn't as pretty as you would like. It wasn't overall a pretty game whenever you give up 24 points to a team that has 2 wins. However, I said this in the preview show. You do not apologize for wins in today's NFL. You just don't do it, especially in where we're at. We're in December. Any win is a good win. It doesn't matter how you get it. Doesn't matter who you play. And now the 49ers are at 10 wins. They are 10-4, good sir. 10-4. I freaking love it. It's a celebration. We're going to be talking all things Niners, player of the game, the positives, NFC watch, which, you know, as of we are recording this right now, Seattle won by a late second field goal. Barely. The Rams are currently up 7 with 30 seconds left. That looks like that's going to be the game. So it looks like the Rams are going to win. Looks like the Seahawks, they already did win. It looks like the Broncos are going to beat the Packers. So that's going to affect some things as well. So a little bit of a shakeup, but I think we're to the point in the NFL season where, man, good teams win. Good teams consistently win. And that is exactly what the 49ers continue to do. I don't care who the opponents are. I really, really don't. When you win 4 games in a row in the NFL, great things are happening. Great freaking things are happening. So I'm freaking pumped. The Niners handled their business. I really felt like they went out there and kind of set the tone to the game. It started off as good as it possibly could, right? So you go out there, you force a 3 and out, which The Niners defense was not good, was not consistently good by any stretch of the imagination today. Like imagination, like it just definitely was not that. How many yards they give up? They give up 306 yards. That's not too bad. That's actually decent, but you didn't force any turnovers. You didn't really get any sacks. You didn't do any of that stuff. You allowed them to go 3 of 9. Like you did you handled your business. The defense just kind of checked boxes. Gave up some very long drives, gave up a lot of deep plays, a lot of missed opportunities, a lot of missed tackles. Safety play was bad, but you forced three and outs throughout the game, and that was enough for the 49ers offense to hold serve, right? And I think we got a little excited, you know, back-to-back games where the 49ers held their opponents to, you know, not even get into double digits. So, like, we got excited, got a little over hyperinflated maybe on the defensive, what Robert Saleh has been able to do. But it's not like the defense was horrible. It just wasn't good. The offense was great. Special teams, maybe not as good as they have been either, but you still won the special teams connection as well. The offense was great, though. No doubt about it. The story of the day, Brock Purdy, I think, had his best game of the season, which, again, he's only played in 6 games, but still improves to, what is he now, 4-1 as, no, 5-1 as a starter. Brock Purdy was incredible. He's my player of the game. And so I want to say thank you to the executive producers, which we got a good new one. Dorian Campbell, shout out to him. Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, David Gill. Let's get to the comment section. What's up, guys? Appreciate you guys. What's up, Big Papa? Cam's dad, Seattle came so close to losing. That defense keeps them in every game. Even when their offense is just horrible, it would have been gravy. But yeah, if Seattle plays like this against the Niners or the Rams, they're going to lose. They play like this against the Niners or the Rams, they will lose that game. No doubt about it. And, you know, the weird thing, which the Rams just won, I'm waiting for ESPN to kind of update, you know, their thing. We'll go through all of that. But, man, yeah, love all the hashtag CCs. What's up, RTP? My man, Matthew. Always great to see you. 10-4 sounds good, especially whenever you look at last year. Where were the Niners last year this time? 6 wins, mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. We're doing mock drafts. It last year was just, it was terrible. Now, what a difference coaching makes. You have a worse defensive roster than you had last year, but the defense is still playing way better because of Robert Saleh. Coaching matters. 10-4. Every single thing is still on the table. Whenever you're looking at, you know, seeds, 1 seed is still a very real possibility. Now, that gets less and less and less as time goes on. But still, the 1 seed is still a possibility. But yeah, I think the 5th seed's probably the most likely scenario where the Niners will wind up. And I don't think that's a bad place to be. If you maybe fall to the 6th seed, cool. 7th seed, not ideal, but still a lot of stuff's on the table. And you look at with the Lions losing, now, the gap between, and this is what I kept saying nonstop, like, I understand you're a game ahead of the Lions. I understand that. But whenever you look at all of the tiebreaker scenarios and the schedule of the other teams that were in the playoff hunt, it's way bigger chasm than what the box score looks like or what the standing sheet looks like. Because, yeah, it was just 1 loss, but a lot of these teams are about to start playing each other. And that's what you're seeing. And you got the Packers losing. Well, they're losing right now. They're down 8 points with a minute left. We'll continue to monitor that situation. But, yeah, we want the Broncos to win. And, yeah, the defense needs to tighten up. I'm with you, D-Falk. It's going to be an issue. But the pathway to win games is set. Win 2 out of 3 phases. Offense, special teams. You win 2 out of 3 phases, you're going to win a lot of games. And I said on the preview show and on the John and Wayne show, for the 49ers to lose this game to the Titans, you'd have to be down 2 turnovers, which you were down 1. That gave them a little bit of hope, but, you know, whatever else. They would have to dominate in the red zone. They would have to dominate on 3rd downs. They didn't do either of those. They went 3 of 9 on 3rd downs, and they went 2 and 3 in the red zone. But, yeah, and they just could not sustain drives. They only had 18 first downs to the 49ers, 28. I think that's the most they've had all season. The 49ers offense was just, it was freaking bonkers, man. It was the best the offense has looked. And there were even stats, right? They scored on the very first five possessions. First time since 2023 when the 49ers had one of the best, you know, whatever offenses in the history of the NFL. Definitely up there on that list. Oh, I freaking love it. Oh, look at this, Aaron. Yeah, he read my notes. He read my notes. He says, John, you called the double moves on Green. That's four consecutive games. Renardo Green has bid on the double move. It's cost him three out of five times. Quarterback play, Cam Ward didn't play bad, but missed wide open. That would have changed the course of the game. Renardo Green, just situational football right before the half, not understanding. Dude, a five-yard out route will not beat us. But he just has very low situational football IQ. It's been demonstrated nonstop this season. I really like the kid. I think that he's a quality football player, but man, it's hard to constantly see the exact same mistake at such a, like, it's the one thing as a corner you get taught, deeper than the deepest, can't get behind you. And like, we play a soft shell zone. Like, he just cannot help himself. He takes the cheese every single time. If I'm playing the 49ers, I'm double moving. I'm going to start the thing. I'm going to run two out routes. I'm going to run a stick. I'm just going to keep doing that to him, and then double moves galore. Like, that's what I'm going to do. And it just seems simple because he just bites on it all the time, not trying to focus on all the negatives. Look at this. Meal Ticket says, the most efficient quarterback in the league, and you are not lying. Player of the game. Here it is, ladies and gents. Brock freaking Purdy, the best game he has had this year. What he did on third downs alone, you could delete the stats, you could delete all that stuff. What he did on third downs alone with his feet, maybe one of his best throws was the one third down you didn't convert to Juwan Jennings. He didn't fight back to the ball. It would have been a contested catch, but it was a perfect read, perfect throw. Juwan Jennings, who had a good game, not trying to throw him under the bus, but like, Brock Purdy on third down was unbelievable. There was one point where you were 8 of 10 on third down. Now, you're winding down the clock, and it looks like the Packers just lost, so they're going to fall. That's great news. Way to go, Denver 49ers, with Hufanga and, you know, my man Greenlaw over there. But the 49ers offense was 8 of 10 on third downs and 1 of 1 on fourth downs at one point. Now, you finish 9 of 15. The 49ers are a top 3 team on third downs, might be the best team in the NFL. When it's all said and done, they might have the best third down conversion rate. Brock Purdy was just freaking molten lava out there on third. It's third and 13. Doesn't matter. Like, it just did not matter at any point, no matter what happened. Brock Purdy was calm, cool, collected, having fun, dancing, freaking. Whenever he pump faked the linebacker after the longest run of the 49ers season, by the way, and he went up and apologized immediately, smiled, my bad, bro, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Like, when Brock Purdy's having fun, it just changes the tone, the setting, the situation, the feeling of everything. It, like, you even feel that when you're in the stadium. I wasn't at this game, you know, personally, but like, I've been at those stadiums whenever he is like that, and everybody feels it. Everybody feels it. That's what he did. Now, you look at the stats. Brock Purdy finished 23 of 30, 295 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, got sacked twice for 3 yards. So, sorry, excuse me. Even when pressure came their way and got through there, he was able to mitigate the losses into where it wasn't catastrophic. It wasn't drive killer. That's huge. 2 sacks for 3 yards. Not a big deal. Really not a big deal. 140.3 rating. Whoo. Golly, the rush, the throw. And, you know, I wanted to have 2 players of the game, and my second player was going to be Ricky Pearsall. We're going to talk about him and just what it means to have him back. I think that changed things. What's up, RTP? FTW7. Looks like we got a new name. New YouTube member. He's been a YouTube member forever, man. You're the man. Appreciate you, man. Right here, Daddy Wolf, thanks for the super chat. How about the skeleton crew? 1 down, 3 to go. Yeah, man, it's crunch time. December goes quick. Gave up some huge plays, made some minor mistakes. Nothing we can't adjust to. Yeah, bang, bang, let's go. One love, brother. Man, appreciate you, Daddy Wolf. Thank you. Secondary was the problem. The weakest part of the team today was the secondary. Renardo Green didn't cost us on biting that double move, but not a bad game outside of that. Both safeties disappeared. I thought Malik Mustafa had his worst game of the season, which was rough because Malik Mustafa was coming off of, shoot, 3 to 4 consecutive great games where it was just ascending, ascending, ascending. Started off with missed tackles, had a bad angle. That dropped interception hurt, but they ended up missing the field goal, so it didn't count points-wise. And then I don't think they scored the touchdown on it, but the deep ball doesn't play the ball well, tries to basket catch it instead of blocking the ball. You ain't got ball skills, man. Like, you ain't going to win a contested catch. Knock the damn ball away. Like, I had corners that I coached, and I would tell them, you ain't catching anything. You are a converted wide receiver who's now over here because you can't catch, Stone Hands. So don't go for the interception. Wrong hand it all the time. And what I mean by that is, if I go to catch the ball, right, whether I'm a receiver, but usually it's a DB drill. If I extend both hands, which Malik did not do, but if I try to catch it with both hands, or if I reach out wrong hand, my one hand extension extends, man, probably 5 to 6 inches further than if I extend both hands, because you get your shoulder, you get the whole turn, all that stuff. So it's just a matter of leverage and length. So I had corners where I would tell them, dude, you're not intercepting a ball. Stop that. Bat the ball away, wrong hand it every single time, extend fully. That's what we're going for. And, you know, Malik tries to go for the basket catch. Doesn't work very well. He's not a ball skills guy. I'm not saying he has interceptions. I understand that. But, like, understand where you are. Situational awareness. Do we need an interception at the one-yard line? Yeah, that'd be awesome. But if you just bat the ball down, everybody's going to have a better chance of success as a defense. You've got to do that. And then you shoot that one touchdown, D'Amador Lenore. I mean, back-to-back games. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's the holiday season, the best time of the year for sports, bowl games, basketball matchups, playoff pushes. It's all happening at once. And while you and I are out here making decisions every day, what gifts to buy, what to eat, which game to watch, there is one place where it feels good to be right: Prize Picks. My favorite thing about Prize Picks is picking multiple sports in the same lineup. With basketball back, I could put Steph Curry and Christian McCaffrey in the same lineup for both. And a new feature alert on Prize Picks now has early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you may now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. Prize Picks is simple to play. Just pick more or less on at least 2 player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. George Kittle, more or less 58.5 receiving yards. Juwan Jennings, more or less 46.5 receiving yards. Ricky Pearsall, more or less than 4 receptions. It's that simple. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. And it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Now, it's football season, and there is nothing more perfect for tailgating with your buddies or enjoying at home while watching the game. And with fast, free shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. So use code 49ers, that's 49ERS at checkout, for 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping. Or visit CigarsInternational.com/49ers and the discount will automatically apply. You got a buddy's birthday coming up and you don't know what to get them? Cigars International. You got Christmas gifts that people keep asking, what do you want? What do you want? You tell them. Go to CigarsInternational.com/49ers and get your gift there.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters' 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
You've got deep third. We were in cover three. We'll break this down on the film at the 49ers Rush and the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. Dude, you've got the outside third. He takes the post route. He doesn't replace back over the top. It looks like it was against Jair Brown. Everybody knows I'm not like the biggest Jair Brown fan. That wasn't on Jair Brown. That was on D'Amador Lenore. Once that post clears those numbers, it crosses those hashes, then you've got to peel back outside to the other outside threat. It's a zone beater route, and it worked because D'Amador Lenore was not where he was supposed to be. He has to peel back over the top in that coverage, that cover three thing. It's funny because Drew Brees was terrible, by the way. Like, if you watch the broadcast, that was horrible. Mark Sanchez definitely had to go, but good gosh. I guess you got to fill it with the name, but Drew Brees, that dude, he's like, oh, quarter coverage. Like, do that quarters coverage. It's cover three. You can see it, but didn't know the players' names, didn't know what's going on. Really not good broadcasting, but whatever. I digress. It was really bad from D'Amador Lenore. So both safeties, Jair Brown, like, was almost non-existent, had the dropped interception as well, but not a lot of missed tackles or whatever. You know, Malik Mustafa actually led the team in tackles with 10, but the missed tackles, the coverage, the dropped interception, secondary was a problem. And you look at who you're playing on the schedule. Yeah, Phillip Rivers, that's going to be weird. But then Caleb Williams, he'll get you. So Phillip Rivers, Caleb Williams, and Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold seems to, once the film got out on him, definitely not playing the same level as, you know, you kind of came to expect, but they're still winning games. And so they know what they have to do to win games is defense. And so take that for what you will. Kimbrough, appreciate the super chat, my friend. Says the Niners have 10 wins. Unbelievable. The 49ers had a 16-year streak from 1983 to 1998. Let's break that record. Thanks for being you, John. Man, you're the best. That's very, very kind. I don't think people, I was able to spend, I had to go out of town this weekend, spent some time with some friends, and, you know, one of them was a Niners fan, one of them was a Chiefs fan, one of them was an Eagles fan. We used to coach together. And we were just talking about, like, man, what it's like being an Eagles fan now as opposed to what it used to be. And we're all from Texas. We all grew up in Dallas. And so being a Chiefs fan or a Niners fan or an Eagles fan or whatever, that's not what it is now, isn't what it used to be. The Eagles sucked forever. The Niners, like, yeah, you had 1994, which I was 12 then. But then after that, like, yeah, it got rough. And, you know, it's funny. Like, I made a comment at some point today on Twitter. And I was like, man, you know, Seattle's losing. The Rams are losing. The 49ers are up 10. And, you know, I don't want to put the person's name on or whatever. They're like, yeah, but the Niners are barely up against one of the worst teams in the league. And it was just like, dude, have you been a 49ers fan for like longer than 5 years, 7 years? And if you haven't, that's okay. I'm just saying the context of the emotional turmoil, for lack of a better term, like wins are wins. You would have killed to have this win last year. You would have killed to have this win in the freaking early 2000s. Like the desert, the 40 days of wilderness that was the 2000s up into the hardball years. And like, it's not even just that time. Like the old hats, like they'll talk about this too. The Niners have had like 4 decades now, you know, spread out. But before Walsh got here, wasn't great. It's not great, Bob. Not great. And then, you know, after Seifert and all that kind of stuff, you had Mariucci. That was cool. Then it got really bad. Then after Harbaugh, it got really bad. Wins are wonderful. Don't apologize for them. I don't give a damn if you won by 1 point. You didn't. You had the biggest spread in the NFL, and you covered. What is there to apologize about? And so back to this idea. Thank you, Kimbrough. Again, like, I remember wearing my starter jacket to school knowing I was going to get in a fight because my team lost the day before, and, like, I was an asshole from early on. Anytime my team lost, Longhorns or the 49ers, I had to wear their stuff the next day, period. Like, that's a Chapman. Like, you got to do it. Anytime the Niners win, lose, I'm throwing my Niners stuff on, period. Like, we are not fair weather fans. And I'm not saying other people are, but what I am attempting to do is to provide context to this is a badass year to be a 49ers fan. We are in the golden era. Since Shanahan showed up, whew, you've had a couple years of rebuilding. Then you had 2019 where it was like, holy freaking cow. 2020 injuries. You had the 2020 4 year. But outside of that, every single year is like, dude, we could be the one seed. We could win the division. Dude, Shanahan's won the division 3 out of 6 years. Every other year. Like, I want the Super Bowl too. I totally want that. And yeah, it's missing. We need it. But, man, JP hella hard. 10 wins to get in. I don't know. Like, I've been saying all year, if you get to 10 wins, you're in. Niners are currently the 6th seed. Let's do this, okay? I got to take some water because my throat's struggling. I consumed too much alcohol in the past 24 hours. It yelled way too much. We had a good time. But, man, if you bet with us, we had our best betting week of the year. We've been making money nonstop. We went 8 out of 10, hit on 2 parlays, hit on 2 teasers. Like, we got paid. And if you haven't bet yet with us, that's okay. It's not too late because Christmas and my bookie, they go together like 49ers and 10-win seasons. December doesn't have to be the most expensive month of the year if you're betting with MyBookie. They have their 12 days of Christmas is coming soon with daily offers dropping back to back to back to back 12 days in a row all across sports and the casino. And I'm talking bets and gets, profit boosts, free spins, even surprise drops for social and Telegram users. And with December being so packed, you got the NFL, you got college NFL, your college bowl season, college hoops. It's all serving up for opportunities to cash. And if you go to mybookie.ag now, punch in the code 49ers, 49ERS, you get your first bet covered up to $500. Make sure you click that opt-in button. If you go big and miss on the first bet, use your bet back bonus token and run it back. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. And I mean anywhere. I've used this in California. I've used it in Texas. Doesn't matter where you're at. Go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers. And again, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. All right, I told you guys on the preview show my favorite bets. Like, I told you we were going to smash the over on Ricky Pearsall. We're going to talk a lot about that. Covered. I told you, man, Brock Purdy at 7.5 yards rushing. He covered that in the first quarter. We parlayed those together, made lots of money. Like, we crushed it. Even hit the 2 field goals the last second. That was awesome. score on the first. I mean, we made some money, man. It was freaking awesome. So anyway, that's what that is. Let's talk playoffs. With the afternoon window done, which is, you know, we're at 4:55, so before Sunday Night Football, whatever else. The 49ers are 10-4 and currently sit in the sixth seed. They are now ahead of the Green Bay Packers, who are 9-4-1, and news just came out. Micah Parsons' ACL, it's gone, which I hate that, man. That sucks, but, like, this is a team that is good. I don't think they're great. Defense still good, but whatever. So you're ahead of them. You've got Seattle right ahead of you, but you're going to play them. And if you beat Seattle, you pass them. If you have the same record as Seattle, you beat them, you pass them. Even if Seattle beats you and you split the series and you have the same record, you still pass them because you're 1-1 in the division. We have probably the same divisional record and you beat them in conference wins. So, like, again, tiebreakers, Niners win them all. So, like, that would bump you up to the fifth seed. Now, if the Rams lose a game and you win out, yeah, the one seed is now more readily available because the Packers lost. Like, a lot of people kept saying, like, oh, well, the Rams lose, you win out, then you get the one seed. Well, the Packers had that half game ahead of you because of the tie. They do not any longer. So, we'll see where that is. Control your destiny. You win out, you're the fifth seed. You went out, the Rams lose, you're the first seed. All of that is possible. And now the gap between being out of the playoffs, if the 10 and in is what I've been saying the whole time. So if the Niners go 10-7, the Lions lose one game, one more game, and that you're in. Like, I still think the Niners are in. It's not clinched or whatever else. But if the Lions just lost one game, they lose one game, you lose all three of them, you're in. And maybe the Lions don't lose their games. Maybe the Packers lose a game. Maybe, you know, one of those other teams, like the Panthers. Well, the Panthers don't even have to lose any more games. They could win out. We could lose out and we still pass them. You really just need the Lions or the Packers. Lions lose one game, Packers lose two games, you're in. Period. That's it. Like, they're there. Now, do I expect the 49ers to go 0-3? I do not. Is there a possibility that they do that and miss the playoffs? There is. But I'm saying, like, dude, Niners at, like, 96% John Chapman scale playoff meter. It's there. It is in playoff watch. It is time to start looking for what cities and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, I want the one seed. But if not, I want to travel to Carolina Panthers or I want to travel to the Dallas Cowboys. That's just me personally, what I'm looking for. So the playoffs, oh, man, you could not be in a better position unless you were the one seed. And it's weird because you're third in your division. You're third in your division. You got 11 wins for the Rams. You got 11 wins for the Seahawks. You got 10 wins for the Niners. But you split the series with the Rams. And you still got a Seattle game left. So great stuff there. Tommy, my man, he says, C-Rob is a bun. I don't think you're talking C-Rob. He didn't drop those ones. Yeah, I think you're talking about Malik Mustafa. Curtis Robinson, I thought, played better. He still takes the worst angles ever. I thought Curtis Robinson played his best game out of the three games he started. Not good enough. Tatum or, shoot, old man who, you know, hurt his calf or whatever else. Kendricks, we'll see. Like, I do not want Curtis Robinson being the Mike linebacker at any point moving forward. As a backup, cool. Gifford, yeah. Gifford, but you got four linebackers hurt. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Yeah, gave up that touchdown. That really, really hurt. You got to stay in your zone. He, you know, snuck up to the line. Not his job. Got to stay in that back, you know, hook to curl zone. In the red zone, that's his spot, and just missed it. So that's where that is. Colin, my man, appreciate the super chat. Last year, we lose this game when momentum temporarily shifts. Well said. Overcoming adversity. Not allowed. Like, do you remember last year whenever you would get a penalty on first down and it was just like, all right, this drive's over. Hopefully we get a punt, not a turnover. Like, that's the way it felt last year. You'd get a negative play on first down and it was just like, well, all right, this one's done. Man, not anymore. Converting third and 13s, all that different. Like, overcoming adversity and not letting it define your drive. I think that's huge. Brock Purdy not putting the ball in risky positions. Now, you had that one strip sack fumble, which was close. I think whatever they called it, it would have been. They would have called it incomplete. It would have stayed. If they would have, the NFL is tending that direction where we're just going to stay with whatever they call, unless it's like, oh my gosh, this is the worst call ever. But I'm not a big fan of that, but whatever. The ball, you lost the turnover ratio 0-1. But, man, you managed. You score on 5 consecutive possessions? That's crazy. That's not normal in the NFL. It's really, really not. And so to be able to overcome all the negatives, which there were negatives with the penalties and the penalty, like what did we get called on penalties whenever it was all said and done? 6 penalties for 30 yards, which is more than the last 3 games combined for the 49ers. They were playing some clean ass football and not stacking negatives. They go out there, 6 penalties, which is more than, again, the last 3 games combined. But you are able to overcome a lot of those. Now, the Titans, 7 penalties for 57. I think that's huge. And those helped the Niners big time. Especially like Eddie Pinheiro finally misses, but Justin Simmons, their star player, lack of discipline. Well, if you were around when we were doing our scouting profile out of him, yeah, that came across big time with his past. And so, yeah, like you're not going to be shocked at those things. Jeffrey Simmons is amazing. Not going to be shocked whenever he has some great plays and he wrecks, you know, certain plays, but don't let that stop the drive. And they didn't. They continued going. And I freaking love that, man. Just the offensive efficiency and just look, we're just going to go. You look at the stats of the run game, not great. Not great at all. You averaged 3.6 yards per carry. And a lot of that was just because of Brock Purdy. McCaffrey averaged 3.3 yards per carry. Not good. Brian Robinson Jr. had probably his worst game, 2.3 yards per carry. First time he's been below Christian McCaffrey this season and got the most carries. He got 9 carries for 2.3. Like, not good. But Brock Purdy goes out there, 7 attempts for 44 yards. Good gosh, man. Brock just, whatever needed to be done at a given moment, Brock Purdy took care of it. Brock Purdy just took care of it. It was so awesome to see. And it's like, I'm not getting any of the Mac Jones stuff probably this week. I really am. Dude's 5-1. You talk about the level of competition. I get it. Does this mean Brock Purdy's not going to have bad games in the future? Absolutely not. There's going to be negatives out there, but good Lord, man. Oh, that was about as damn good as a quarterback performance as you're going to see in December football. It was just so freaking good. So clean. And yeah, like the refs, yeah, special teams was probably one of our worst special teams game, but none of them cost us big. You had the kick out of bounds. But the ball was falling off the tee. They missed that one. And the NFL has stupid-ass rules. Like, just put a common-sense rule where if you do a review and it's blatantly obvious, then you can fix it. It's so simple. Keep it simple, stupid. Like, but that one, whatever. That's going to happen. You miss the field goal, but they have the personal foul, so then you get to go back out there. That's cool. Now, Eddie Pinheiro almost kicked one out of bounds earlier, too. That was bad. You almost had a punt, and I talked about this on the show. Sky Moore is going to field the punt. Ciaran Neal runs into him. Now the ball bounces in between them, about 6 inches on each side. It doesn't touch them, and it's not a big deal. Now the ball gets down inside the 5 instead of at about the 18. So, like, that was a negative, but, dude, that could have been a turnover, like in the Super Bowl, right? So it's not like special teams was perfect. It was not. But it wasn't bad enough to cost us. And then you look at what the Titans did. They had a way worse performance. They had the missed field goal. They kicked one out of bounds. They'd have to do with the wind. Like, their punt gate, they had a real horrible punt. So, like, if you're looking at, okay, special teams, who won? Oh, the 49ers won. All right, offense, who won? That's not even a question. Like, 49ers might have had the most efficient offense in the NFL this week. Defense, who won? Nah. They forced a turnover. They got sacks. I'm not going to say the 49ers won the defensive battle, but I am going to say they won the offense, and they won the special teams 2 out of 3 phases. Can the offense just stop a couple series? They had 3 3 and outs. The 49ers defense forced three and outs throughout the game. And that was enough to hold serve on offense. That was enough. I mean, shoot. How many times, let's see this. How many times have the Titans scored 24 points this year? I'm going to say maybe once or twice. And so now, what does that do? I want to make sure I'm right on this. How many times have they scored over 24 points? One time against the Seattle Seahawks, and then one time against the Browns. Those are two good defenses. Niners are not anywhere near those defenses, but only the third time this year. So that's not a positive. That's not a positive. Now, how many times have the Titans given up 37 points, right? So, like, let's flip that. Opponents, one time the Colts, and two times the Colts. The Colts did 41 and 38. So, exact same thing, right? Like, they've only given up that many points twice before, third time. They've only scored that many points twice before. This is the third time. So, it kind of equals out. The special teams, the offense was just enough to get it done. Just enough to get it done. And that freaking excites me. And shoot, I mean, now you got the Colts, which I had on the side TV. I had the Rams and the Colts and the Packers game up. And so, like, got to watch a little bit of the Colts, but not a lot. I wasn't paying attention just on commercial break when the Niners were. I'd glance over and see what's going on. But now you get to play Phillip Rivers. Monday Night Football. Look at Money Mac. He says, John, are you ready for some Monday Night Football? I am. The Niners get another day. Long week. Extra day off. I am super, super pumped. We have all of our details for the trip. If you're going to Indianapolis, if you're close to Indianapolis, we're going to be out at Tom's Watch Bar from 3 to 7 p.m. Sunday on the 21st because it's Monday Night Football. We're going to have the day before party. Sunday from 3 to 7, we'll have all the games on, so we'll be able to watch football, do our giveaways, all that kind of stuff. It's going to be a great time right across the street from the stadium. Tom's Watch Bar, join us 3 to 7 p.m. And then our tailgate, again, it's late, Monday Night Football. Our tailgate starts at 4 p.m. We're going to be at the Saint Shack, walking distance, 3 blocks from the stadium. It's indoors. Going to be an awesome time. All you can eat, premium drinks, premium everything. Kids get free to everything. Obviously, they don't get the drinks. Go get your tickets on the TickPick app or at 49ersrush.com. And if you have never been to one of our Rush road trips, oh, you got to come out, man. This is what they're like. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. I hope you guys come out and party with us. And if you're not coming, you know somebody that is, man. And when we make the playoffs, if we're on the road and it's not Philly, we will be hosting an event. I'm giving in. I'm tired. I know I'm tired, but 8 trips this year has been a blast. So let's just keep it rolling. So we'll see where the chips fall and if we're going to be throwing a road trip party or not. Again, not going to do Philly just because I don't want kids there. But anyway, we'll deal with that whenever we get to there. Now, Brock Purdy's player of the game. I mean, not even close. The second player of the game, if I could choose one, definitely going to be Ricky Pearsall. Like, I kept getting the questions, and everybody kept emailing and DMing and all that stuff. Just like, man, what's wrong with Pearsall? What's wrong with Pearsall? And I kept saying, like, the film is fine. It's just, man, whenever his number's been called, Ben Bartsch ruined two touchdowns. Ricky Pearsall, Brock Purdy ruined another one where he threw an interception. He dominated his route. Like, the film said Ricky was Ricky. It just didn't match up. The stats didn't match the film, which happens because you only get 60 offensive plays. How many times do you call Ricky Pearsall's number, whatever else? Well, they called his number 7 times. Actually, more than that, because Ricky Pearsall, you know, he finished with 6 catches, 96 yards on 7 targets, no touchdowns. But the key was, you know, he goes out there first play of the game, or first offensive play of the game, gets his catch, but gets hip drop tackled. And people are like, Mr. Glass, injury prone. And I'm like, man, shut the hell up. Dude, that's like an illegal play. That player is going to get fined. And he comes down on the back of his ankles. Like, that's going to mess up your ankle. You're a human. Like, that ain't got nothing to do with injury prone. That's an illegal play in the NFL for that very reason. He goes out. They retape it. He misses like one drive, comes back. Looked great. And so just how cool was it to see number one out there affect the game in such a positive way? And it wasn't just, you know, his 6 catches for 96 yards. He had an amazing play blocking downfield, like 30 yards downfield for Kittle. That was huge. Helped Kittle get an extra 15 yards. He drew a pass interference penalty in the end zone. Another pass interference that led to a first down. And just, man, the third down receptions that Pearsall kept bringing back to back to back to back. And it was just like, good gosh. Like, just dependent. Him and Purdy just seemed like on the same page. Contested catches, wide open where he just dominated the route. It didn't matter. Like, he was doing everything. And so if you could get that consistent play from a space creator, it just makes Brock Purdy's life easier. You've got Juwan Jennings, who's your contested catch guy. He ain't got to be open to throw it. But Pearsall it's just different. Whenever one is cooking, man, watch out. The entire offense just works. Just works. And yeah, filthy. Like, I'm with you. I was scared rookie wouldn't come back either. I doubled down on all the bets this week. I started them in my fantasy playoffs. Like, yeah, I'm with you. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. One target, one catch, and the injury? Like, no way. Gets his ankle retaped, goes back out there, was having a good time. And imagine what Ricky feels, right? Because he ain't showed up at the stat lines last 3 weeks. Ah, you shut the hell up now, right? All you, what y'all talking now? What are y'all talking now? Dude, they set the over-under at 2.5 catches and 30 receiving yards. Are you kidding me? Yeah, we freaking pounded that one. We parlayed that one. It was just, come on, man. It was going to get paid. And I know people got mad at me for betting it again. And they're like, dude, how are you going to bet it again? I'm telling you, man. The film says he was ready. And gambling's weird because, yeah, what if he did get injured and whatever else? Then the conversation would have been, oh, he's just too injury prone, Mr. Glass. And, oh, that was a bad pick. And blah, blah, blah. No. No. He fits. He's exactly what they need in that Z position. I do wish they'd give him some end arounds or some jet sweeps, some of that stuff. But, man, Ricky Pearsall, awesome. And George Kittle, too. 9 targets, 8 catches, 88 yards, 1 touchdown. George Kittle was having a good time out there. He was dancing, doing his little boop, no fear thing, all that kind of stuff. He was having a good time, man. How good of a tight end is George Kittle? He's the best in the NFL. And I don't think it's close. I think it's him and Trey McBride. And I don't think it's close. I don't think Trey McBride's awesome. He really, really is. But George Kittle, just off the freaking charts, man. Just so consistently good. And whenever you have CMC, which, you know what's crazy? Christian McCaffrey had 1 target in the passing game. Like, this was not a CMC game. Brian Robinson got his most carries. CMC was sick earlier. You had the back issues flare up. Like, didn't look amazing. But, man, on that one catch, that was his best play of the day. Goes up there, snags it, makes the guy miss, gets like 14-plus yards. It was awesome. It was awesome. Michael, thanks for the super chat. He says, people like you is why Ricky will get paid, and then we will regret when he misses 7 games a season, mark my words. I mean, that's 3 years away. So you're going to have a lot more ground for that. But, like, I don't know what you want out of Ricky Pearsall that you didn't see. And I'm pretty sure John Lynch doesn't listen to this podcast, and Kyle Shanahan does not either. But if they did, what's up, guys? Subscribe to the 49ersrush.com. But, nah, Ricky Pearsall fits. I didn't like it whenever they drafted him. I thought it was horrible misuse of resources. But you had Debo, you had Ayuk, you had Jennings, you had three second contract wide receivers. Why are we getting another one? Well, you traded Debo away and you ate like $40 million dead cap. You gave the worst contract in the world to Brandon Ayuk, and now he's left the team slash retired and get that back. Juwan Jennings held out, and now things look like they're on the positive side, but it's his contract year. Like, you're going to need another wide receiver, whether you sign Juwan Jennings or not. You've got some young pups coming up, but none of them have done anything. Jordan Watkins, Jacob Cowing, like, you're going to need more regardless. So, yeah, I don't know. And if you're not a Ricky Pearsall guy, that's okay. You don't have to be because of me. Disagreements are a great thing. Disagreements are the best thing. Respectfully, that's what it is. And I don't believe in paying any wide receivers second contract money because I think that wide receiver position is absolutely bananas in what they're getting paid. And I would much rather send my money elsewhere, especially for a team that runs the least amount of 11 personnel sets and runs the ball more than anybody else in the NFL. I like Pearsall. I ain't paying a wide receiver top tier money ever again unless that's Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson type, that guy. And we ain't had that guy come through. Debo wasn't that guy. Debo was awesome, and he had that, you know, 1,800-yard season, which was off the charts awesome. And Ayuk, his 1,300-yard season was awesome. But, like, I'm not a guy that says pay wide receivers top tier money. I do not. Joe Pearsall is the best wide receiver on this team. Not even close. It's not even close. Right. Joe says Pearsall is better. They're completely different. And Jennings is not playing his position. Jennings is not an X. Not there. Mark says, Michael thinks JC is signing the checks. I'll sign them. Send them over here, man. Send them over here. Right here, Monkey says CMC 1,000 and 1,000 year pretty much out of reach. But if that helps his longevity, I'll take it every single day. Yeah, he needed to average. Let's see here. I got it in my notes. He needed to average 38 rush yards per game, which he hit 73. So he's way ahead on rush yards. He's got to hit 1,000 rush yards. He needed to average 48 receiving yards a game the last four to get to 1,000. He only had 14. So now you're talking about a guy that needs to average about 60 receiving yards a game over the last 3 weeks. Now you get a big play or two. Very, very possible. But, that 1,000 and 1,000's looking a little rough there. No doubt about that. But, dude, start running some screens. I wish I would have ran more screens there. Cosmo, I appreciate you right here. Never pay big money to wide receivers again unless they are clearly elite. And Brandon Ayuk was not that for me. I think Brandon Ayuk's awesome. I think that he is your perfect prototypical X. But the stuff off the field, which hey, I don't know if you could have saw what's coming, but he was not worth that. And I was screaming from the mountaintops not to sign him. Whenever they signed it, I said, it's the worst contract ever. And I think I was right. I don't know. Not that I like being right about that. I wanted to be wrong. But I was not, sadly. That was the worst contract you could have ever given. And I get a lot of that back because he quit on the team. Man, talk about the Niners and their history of diva wide receivers, which wide receivers are divas anyway. But you start talking about like Terrell Owens and Michael Crabtree and Brandon Ayuk, and you want to throw Debo in there. Good gosh, man. Niners have their share. Now, they've also had their share of the best wide receivers in the world. You got Jerry Rice. You got John Taylor. Terrell Owens you're going to throw in there. Like, you've had some great, great, greats. Dwight Clark, obviously, freaking spoiled. But you've also had your divas out there, but that's going to happen. Kimbro, thanks for the super chat. Keon White was worth the peanuts we paid for him. Klee was a good addition from the streets. You paid pennies on the dollar, or peanuts in your metaphor. And, man, you got a full course meal. Are either one of them, like, people to build your defensive front around? No. Keon White, maybe. But they're both getting the job done. Again, no sacks. barely any pressures. But, like, you've got to find ways to win, and those guys consistently get the damn job done. 56 showed on film a lot. Yeah, again, watching the broadcast tape, which I hate that view. But when we go through the film this week, like, 56 is a player that jumps. And, again, if you haven't signed up and, like, this is my full-time job. This is all we do. And, man, we've been doing this 9 years now. But how I feed my family is from the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel, both links in the description of this video. We go over every single offensive play, defensive play, special teams play, every single for the past four seasons. They're all there. As soon as you sign up, you get all of it. You want to go back and watch certain games? It's all there. The entire catalog, as soon as you sign up, it's yours. It's all yours. It's $8 a month. Comes out to like a quarter per breakdown. If you're one of those people that's like, I ain't got time for that, just sign up, support if you like what we do. That helps us do this full time and keep putting out content year long because we do it even in the off season. But yeah, so if you like that, you want to see that, you want to see Keon White and like just how big of an impact he is, we'll detail that for you. So as soon as you sign up, again, you get a full week free trial, whatever tier you sign up for. And if you don't like it, cancel. Won't cost you a penny. We don't hound you. We don't do none of that. But if you do like it, stick around. Stick around. You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. Let's see here. Right here. If Lynch or Shanny are watching, hey guys, can I get playoff tickets? Captain Diner, my man. If anybody deserves them, it is you. Right here, Sonia saying they are saying Ricky re-aggravated his PCL injury. The way he got wrapped up, but he played through it. We'll have to see how that knee responds, the ankle responds. You got to see how it goes. And injuries are bad. Yeah, Mahomes torn ACL, Micah Parsons torn ACL. You had Devontae Adams go down with a hamstring. It looked bad. I don't know how bad that's going to be, but like, it's not just the 49ers that are dealing with injuries. Now, the 49ers are more injured and have lost more stars than anybody else, but this is December, January football. People are tired. Injuries, I mean, shoot, the first two plays of the game, you had Chase Lucas get hurt, then you had Ricky Pearsall get hurt, and it's just like, good gosh, man, like, can we just not do this? But then you look at the Titans. They lost three safeties in one game. They lost three safeties in one game. So it's not – I get the woe is me and whenever we just have our Niners, you know, we're just going to pay attention to us and kind of like what happens to us. I get that. But it's everywhere. It is everywhere. Laser, appreciate the super chat. We got Laser, Blazer, all kinds of guys. Any recently retired defensive players we should try and recruit out of retirement for a Super Bowl run? Give me a list of your top five guys. Kendricks was, you know, that was the guy, but that didn't work out. How many linebackers are out there that you could try to get to join you that would be willing to join you? And you already passed the bye week. So the bye week was the time to do that. Like, I feel like the opportunity to do that, it's kind of eclipsed. What's the Niners' entire MO? You've heard it from the owner, the GM, the head coach, personnel groups, nonstop. Younger, cheaper. Younger, cheaper. Younger, cheaper. The linebacker spot was rough because you lost four linebackers. And so they tried to plug something in. Curtis Robinson, not really the stopgap that you were hoping for. Tato Bethune, we'll see, but he's got holes in his game. Linebacker would be a need. Corners usually don't work because you lose speed. I wish a center, but that's never going to happen. Running back, no. Quarterbacks, you're maybe the best quarterback room in the NFL, if I'm going to be honest with you. You talk Mac Jones and Brock Purdy, like, it's pretty badass 1-2 tandem. You'd use wide receivers, but, man, you're healthy scratching the young pups because you got a log jam there. So, yeah. And if Jordan Elliott's knee, I mean, shoot, we got guys getting hurt in warmups. That dude started every single game this year. He's been great. Alfred Collins got his first start, played well, drew a holding call on a pivotal play. You know, he's never going to be a stat guy, but just makes life easier on the linebackers. So maybe a defensive tackle, maybe a linebacker. I'd want a corner or a safety. I would want a corner or a safety. But just when they get older, it just gets hard. So, sorry I can't do top five necessarily, but I don't think they're going to be adding a lot more that are going to be major impactful coming in play right now, guys. I think you go with the girl that got you there. I think that's what it's going to be. I really, really do. So that's where it is. Oh, Uncle Salty, my man, says, to all the naysayers, chill out. Our MASH unit, yeah, it's 10-4. Think about that and stop your... No team in the NFL is just, like, dominant this year. No team. I mean, you look at the Bills. You can look at the Patriots, maybe. You look at the Broncos. I don't know. Like, there's some talented teams for sure, but, like, Niners can play with anybody in today's NFL. Period. Just period. Look at this. Lave says, trade for Justin Jefferson. Trade Mac, BA, picks, get it done. Most teams don't want to trade their franchise player that sells all their jerseys. Even if Justin Jefferson wanted out, I don't know if, I mean, shoot, coming out here would be awesome. I would rather go to a passing offense if I was him so I could chase all the record books. But if he wants to win, maybe. But even if he wants to be traded here, even if the Niners could put together a package worthy for the Vikings to say yes, the Vikings trade him for Mac Jones and BA and picks. Coach going to get fired. GM's going to get fired. I don't see it as a thing, but I do love Justin Jefferson. I would be very, very happy for that. Captain Niner, hey, the Colts tried. Give Grandpa some credit. Now we get to play Grandpa. You've got Phillip Rivers versus Brock Purdy Monday night, baby. Ah, I freaking love it. Salty, thank you, man. He says the rush road trips are the best. You are a very kind person. Michael, John, didn't mean to bash you. Frustrated with the wide receivers. Dude, bash away. That's what this is for. I got thick skin, literally and figuratively. You ain't going to hurt my feelings. And if you do, that's okay. I'll just give some snappy whatever back. You can bash away. But yeah, frustrated with the wide receivers. I didn't think it was a bad game from the wide receivers. I mean, you catch 23 of 28 targets. It's not bad. But yeah, you don't have a true wide receiver room. You don't have an X. It's not on the roster. Jordan Watkins is the only guy that's close to that. And yeah, dude, Michael, you're the best. Dude, don't worry about that. I ain't got feelings. I ain't got feelings. It's what it is. The Vikes traded a prime Stephon Diggs, so why not Jefferson? Diggs is a different animal. Every single team that has had Stephon Diggs has been very happy when he has left. You can put him in that BA territory in the locker room type guy. Justin Jefferson ain't that. Justin Jefferson is a captain. He is a leader. He is a grown adult and behaves as such. Maybe not all the time, but like, yeah, dude, I've been to Vikings games and every jersey is 18. Like, he is the LeBron James to that football team. Like, he's everything. Why would you trade that away? Why? Like, they're not in rebuild mode. They're not. They're trying to figure out a quarterback. They have a great head coach. I think Kevin O'Connell's great. Their quarterback I don't like. But, like, you're going to trade away. Let's try to make a quarterback work. And so let's give the best asset to a quarterback ever or, like, away. I get it. Yeah, the Niners would want him. I want him. Why in the world would somebody do that? Oh, Bobo, that's just mean. I had one this morning. So, or early lunch at the airport. But, dude, not cool. That's not cool. Be better than that. Anyway, yeah, right here. JC, does anyone know what's really going on with BA? Don't know. Waiting on him to make another fake video maybe to put out so that we could know. No, and so, like, I'll say this. I don't like making personal negative stuff, right? So, like, whatever players piss me off, I start calling by their numbers because I don't want to draw negative. That's somebody's husband, wife, son, daughter, whatever, you know. I don't like that. But I am a coach. And I've been around that. I don't have a lot of grace for that. You don't quit on your team. You don't quit on your team. You don't do that. You don't do that. I don't have grace for that. Now, I told somebody, I forget who I was talking to, but like I was like, dude, there's a really strong chance he never plays football again. You give away all that money after you fought so hard for it, and like that's all that mattered was proving you were paid up there next to Amon-Ra St. Brown and all that stuff, and then you laugh after you get paid. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, I made it harder than it should have been. No, fuck that. Sorry. Nah, dude. And you quit on everybody. You literally made it harder for your team to win by the salary cap rules and then didn't play. And even after he got paid and you saw what he did that first month of the season, quit blocking. Like, that's effort. Dude, quit. It's not about others. It's all about him. I don't want it. Bye, Felicia. I don't care. I don't want bad things to happen to him. I hope that he rebounds his career, gets some people that give him positive advice finally, and he can have a very healthy life, but not here. Get the hell away from me. Be gone. And I don't care. Like, I don't care. I don't want bad things to happen to him, but you are not welcome here. Like, nope. I have no saying on anything, but like, whatever grace players receive from me or this podcast, be gone. And I felt the same way about Crabtree. I felt the same way about Terrell Owens. You're going to force yourself off this team? Good. Go somewhere else. I don't want you here. That's my mentality. And there's flaws in that logic and the emotional response that I have to that. I get it. But from a coaching standpoint, get the hell out. And I hope the Niners take every damn cent. I hope they sit on his ass, his contract. I hope they make it almost impossible for him to sign somewhere else, because now he's retired. Because if he doesn't show up, he goes on the retired list. The Niners still hold his rights. I want them to make it a living hell for him. That's I'm bitter. That's not healthy. But I hold grudges. And I'm going to make it as hard as humanly possible. Like how everybody else felt about Devondre Campbell, I feel the same way. Birds of a feather, man. It's different. But nah, you're going to screw us over? A 10-4 team that gave you a stupid-ass contract and made you one of the highest-paid wide receivers. You had one 1,000-yard season before that year? Like, that's it? Oh, dude, I'm sorry, man. Yeah, dude, the 49ers are a much more professional team, surprise to nobody, than John Chapman's whimsical anger, whatever. I'd rake him through the mud. I'd rake him through the mud. And that's not helpful to him. And that sucks because he's a human being. And I hate that he did that to the entire team. That's the thing, man. Like, dude, you bled with these dudes. You screwed all of them over. Kyle Shanahan stuck his neck out for you, and you screwed Kyle Shanahan over. Oh, that ain't right, man. Like, here's my problem. Like I always use the bat signal approach, right? Like, if you're a friend or a family member, you got shit going on, which we all do at different times, you got to let somebody know. And so, like, I always tell people, you send me the bat signal. The bat signal's up there, I'll come. I don't care what it is. Like, this was supposed to be my week off. Well, I was in New Mexico. Why? We got the bat signal. Somebody need help. I'm there. It's what it is. That's just what we're going to be. Wife's upset. I was like, sorry, babe. We got to go help. So we go help. Imagine doing that. Then somebody just being like, you know what? No, I'm just not going to come. I'm not going to come to practice. Why aren't you going to come to practice? And maybe there is something. Dude's not even showing up. Ah, get me the hell out of here, man. Nah, it's yeah, no, I'm done. Nate, appreciate the super chat. If I ever hear any BA Niners news, it will be too soon. I don't think you're going to hear anything for a long time unless BA comes out. Like, even his agent is John Lynch's best friend. Like, so I don't think it's the agent that's trying to turn these two against each other. They lost millions and they're continuing to lose more millions. Yeah, dude. Yeah, I don't want anything to do with that, man. I hope he does okay. That's the thing, because like that's the tension. I'm so mad. Whenever Brandon Ayuk signed his contract, I didn't record a show. I've recorded 1,572 shows. I would have got paid a lot of money whenever the breaking news and the off season and he signs his contract. Like, I would have had thousands of views and would have made lots of dollars, but I was just like, I don't want to do a show. I was a little baby because I didn't even want him. I didn't want him after all that. Like, that's where I get. And so I didn't even do a show. I didn't even do a freaking show because I was so pissed That's what it is, man. Yeah, go make another video, buddy. Why not? Go make a video and all that stuff. Having said all that, now I apologize. This is a celebration, ladies and gentlemen. The 49ers are 10-4. The 49ers are on a 4-game win streak. Ain't none to apologize for that. You have one road game left. Remember last year you won 6 games total? Now you're 10-4. Playoffs are on the doorstep. And I couldn't be happier. And so I apologize that we spent time and energy on a player that chooses not to be a part of the team whenever you had the part of the team go out and play so damn hard and lay it all on the line and bleed and fight and just leave it all out there. And we spent time talking about a selfish whatever. Ah, I'm sorry about that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. But what a win. What a team win. And as the 49ers continue to find their identity and play into that, look, we're going to have a good offensive team. We're going to have a good special team. Defense is going to be hit or miss. I mean, it is. It's a strikeout or a home run. It's a 3-and-out or a 10-play touchdown drive. There is no in-between. But if the offense can hold serve and get all those scoring possessions, that's enough. And maybe that's the whole thing. Like Robert Saleh and the defense is just out there just like, hey, we got to stop 3 to 4 possessions, guys. That's it. 3 to 4 possessions. We show up in the fourth quarter, which you didn't this time. You gave up 14 fourth quarter points, which was the average last year under Sorensen. Gave up, I think it was like 13 point something points in the fourth quarter last year. So like this was one of the worst fourth quarter games. But man, just talk about how far it's came. You know what I mean? And so you understand how to win games. Now, can you do that same philosophy against the Colts, who are an elite defense? They're a very good offensive line and can run the ball very well. Probably one of the biggest negatives, you look at, dude, the Titans average 6.8 yards per rush for the game. For the game, 6.8 yards per rush. You're about to play the Colts, one of the best offensive lines and one of the best running backs in the, like, Taylor is for real. You got to handle your business because it's going to be different. It's going to be different. All right, I'm going through the chat. I don't want to focus anymore on that person. I appreciate you guys very, very much. love you guys, man. You're the best. Thank you, YM. I appreciate you guys. Anyway, here we go. Stefan, our defense needs to practice catching. That's why they play on defense, man. Jair Brown, that was his MO, was turnovers. Like, he has great hands. Malik Mustafa never has. But yeah, you got to get those turnovers, man. You got to get those. Got to get those. Ah, man. No way. If the 49ers win and get Super Bowl, there is no way that guy gets a Super Bowl ring. I can guarantee you that. It's like what the Mavs did to Rondo. Like, no, he ain't getting a ring. There ain't no way in hell Shanahan's going to give that. Shanahan is like me. The way Shanahan treats Jimmy Garoppolo, I can guarantee you that dude ain't getting a ring. I would bet everything. There is no way of, nope, he ain't getting a ring. Tommy, thanks for the super chat, brother. He says, I, for one, want one Angry Chapman podcast a week. It's fun and cathartic. I don't like being angry, though. You know what I mean? Like, what's you don't like me when I'm angry? No, I don't like me when I'm angry. Like, I like to get fired up sometimes, but man, I do not like pointing negative attention towards other people. Like, that is not why this was started. And so, like, what y'all have to do, and I used to tell my students this too, we would have, whenever I would teach, we would have, like, on the sideboard, like, I would give different students like markers and we'd set up on the side like board how many times they can get me off track or how many times they can get me talking about something inappropriate, like I should, like history's deep dark secrets or whatever. And so like at the end of class, they would like hold up the thing and say like, oh, look, we got Chapman off topic 3 times. And so like, anyway, so y'all got to get me. So I'm turning it over to you guys. Y'all got to get me mad about something that's not player specific. So that way I don't want to direct negativity towards a human, but to a concept, right? Like special teams, that's always been my thing. It's like I get mad at special teams play. Like I'm not, like, you know what I mean? So like that's what y'all got to do. So if y'all want the angry stuff, you got to find a way for me to direct it towards something abstract or whatever, not a person, like in this situation. So anyway, anyway, it's what it is. You guys are the best. Anyway, I want to say thank you guys. This is huge. I mean, if you would have lost today, I don't think it would have really affected too much of the playoff carousel, seeding, all that stuff. But what it would have done is distanced you from the possibility of winning the division, the possibility of being the 5 seed, which there's a big difference between the 5 seed and 7 seed. 5 seed, you're going to be a road playoff favorite against probably the Bucks or against the Panthers. Whereas if you're the 7 seed, then you're a road, you know, underdog against the Bears, who you play here in 2 weeks, or the Packers, right? That's the difference. And then also, you don't have to go play. That gives you a better chance instead of playing the 1 seed, which if that's the Rams, you know, whatever. We'll take that for what it is. ESP, appreciate the super chat. We keep getting glimpses of what this team could be when we're in sync with our top guys. Still 10-4 despite the injuries. Can only imagine us at 100%. You'd be the NFL favorite. You'd be number one on every single power rankings. If you added Nick Bosa and if you added Fred Warner, just those two, literally just those two, you would be the number one team on every single power ranking. Every single one. You'd be the top team in the NFL. Of that, I have no doubt. And because of that, that is why I think Robert Saleh comes back. That is why I think Robert Saleh comes back. Because even though CMC and perhaps Trent, I'm trying to think of some of the older guys that might not be around another year or two. I think both those guys will be back next year. But what's the efficiency of CMC next year? What's Trent next year? Is he going to be as healthy as he was this year? Things like that. This team is building through the draft, which is frustrating because we want to spend free agent money. You want proven capital. You want proven players. But whenever you hit on those draft picks, like the 49ers have been, dude, that is a young, sustainable roster with promise for the future. And the future is great for the red and gold. But 2025 is not over. And yeah, the future is fun. But man, so many great things on the horizon. Already a great team, but not yet as good as you could be, right? Like, oh, so freaking good. 49ers win. 10-4, baby. It's a celebration. You guys are the best. I want to say thank you for the support. And again, one more time, I just got to put this out there. If you or anybody else is going to Monday Night Football, come party with us. We'll be at Tom's Watch Bar Sunday from 3 to 7. And then unlimited premium tailgate indoors, which is very important. It's going to be cold as hell. 3 blocks from the stadium at the Saint Shack. Go get your tickets. 49ersrush.com. Come out. Support us. You guys are awesome. Party with us. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.